Well, you've probably heard the news. Cineworld shuttering all 543 of its Regal cinema venues as early as this week. Sources indicate a reopening date has not been set. The theaters could stay closed until 2021 or beyond. Let's talk more about this with Tribune film critic Michael Phillips. Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
Good, Uncle Bob. How you doing?
Well, you know what? I'm worried about the theaters, among other things, here today. And I know you wrote about your favorite, the Logan. I love that place, the Music Box up north, the Highland Park Renaissance. Always a great theater, showing great movies. Where are we with these theaters and the future as you see it? I mean, your column the other day was kind of optimistic in a way, pointing out that movie theaters have gone through tough times before and survived.
Yeah, some will survive. that's my prediction. Mm-hmm. That was as optimistic. That column, Bob, was just a few days ago. It was as optimistic as I could get away with and still be true to what I believe. So right now you got a four quadrant problem here. You got, you know, the studios hold all the cards. They're the ones postponing, say, the James Bond film, most recently No Time to Die. That's now April 2021. Dune, the remake of the science fiction classic Dune, you know, not happening this year. That's happening in October next year. Everything else has, you know, already been moved, a lot of it anyway, to spring or later next year. We're still waiting on a few titles like Wonder Woman 1984, which is still supposed to come out in December. But I tell you, I mean, the theaters, so the studios hold the cards, and the theaters are powerless right now. They are angry at the studios for denying them all these potentially life-saving new movies. And, you know, you got Regal shutting back down, and right now, AMC and Cinemark, the number two and number three multiplex chains, no word yet on them closing down again. But AMC's stock took a big hit yesterday. You know, they're just kind of waiting and seeing. You know, can they really tough it out, Bob, for, you know, 6 months and wait for the big movies to come with the stuff that does come out, or just a bunch of, you know, one more look at Jurassic Park? I think people have kind of had it with that.
Yeah. Well, as you wrote in the Tribune, in the past, the theaters had to deal with a pandemic that killed 675,000 Americans and 50 million worldwide, the depths of the Depression, television, video cassettes. You know, where does this one stack up compared to all of those?
It's by far the worst. This is the worst competition the movies have ever faced, because you have not just a pandemic right now, which is kind of like keeping the audiences indoors largely based on what happened with the Christopher Nolan film Tenet. They just didn't come out in the right numbers. I also don't think it was the right movie to do a test run on. It was too much of a headbanger. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell it was. But right now, I just think, you know, when you factor in the big competition, which is staying home and watching, you know, any number of 1 million different things, I think the streaming, you know, evolution is just here to stay. And even if movie going comes back, Bob, I think movie staying is already a huge part of all our lives right now under a pandemic situation, and I don't think that's going away. People are not, you know, I think there's going to be a small percentage of people who just say, God, I can't wait to get back into the movies. Maybe it's a bigger percentage than I realize, but I think everyone is going to be doing both at best.
Well, I love that term. Did you come up with that, movie staying instead of movie going? That's what we're doing.
Yes, I did, Bob. Yes, I did.
Very nice. Be a little something extra in your Tribune pay envelope this week. You know what? The other thing that you brought out in your column the other day that I really identified with, you talk about the difference between movie staying and movie going. And we have these great shared experiences in the theater. You wrote about yours. I still remember many years ago when Polar Express first came out, taking my daughter, and I can't remember how old she was at the time, but we drove down to Navy Pier to see it on the big theater screen down there, and it was a tremendous blizzard, and we get to the theater, and I think there's three people in the theater, and we're watching the Polar Express in the middle of this blizzard, and that experience, it is an experience that I will never forget, and my daughter as well, and you know, that doesn't happen when you're at home watching a movie.
And that, I'd like to think there's a lot of us, Bob, that have that, not just a lot of warm memories about where we saw something and with who we saw it and the conversations and the, you know, you had right afterwards. It's just the crowd reaction. I still remember from seeing things like Jaws, mm-hmm. and Fury in high school, and I've just never heard a reaction like that or a really, really funny comedy. I mean, I still remember Moonstruck, of all things, you know, with Cher and Nicolas Cage, when that, you know, at the end of, after everything's being wrapped up, and Cher says, "What's the matter, Grandpa? Why are you crying?" And he just says, "I'm confused." And it was the biggest laugh I had heard all year in the theater. You know, like, it's just to hear 400 people laughing,
yeah,
at an incredibly well done. Yeah, you don't get. I don't know if we're going to feel that way. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, some things work great at home. I mean, Disney Plus putting Hamilton on streaming, a genius move. You know, I mean, it's built-in audience and it looks great. It's basically the world's greatest concert film. It just happens to be a Broadway show, not a concert. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, you know, I don't know if we're going to bank the same memories sitting on the Serta, you know, or somebody in the comfy chair at home. You know, there will be so little of that. Remember when it'll just be, oh yeah, I saw it. I was in between binging Schitt's Creek and, you know, the seventh season of blah, 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 you know.
Exactly.
It's just not the same. It's not the same thing.
And then you kind of point out that Hollywood has been shooting itself in the foot for a while now. Did you mean because they were just doing these superhero big budget sequels and that kind of turned us off?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. If movies come back, I think it's the best chance for survival in a reduced multiplex footprint in a couple years, let's say a year or two, is of course the big movies that people would already be pre-sold on. Oh yeah, I want to see Mission Impossible, the Bond film, what have you, on the biggest screen I can find, because that's what kind of they're made for. The action is scaled that way. But I don't think it's a good business model. I never did. I think when studios started shoveling, you know, $200 million or more toward the one thing that the stockholders are waiting for, I just think it's that's a kind of risk, and then it's also kind of crowding out all the medium and low budget efforts that, you know, can turn out to be pretty damn good movies. It just makes them less interesting to the studios to even get into the business of making anymore. And that's a big mistake. It happened in the 1960s. You get a huge, huge hit with The Sound of Music, of all things, massive hit. And the studios almost went bankrupt trying to replicate the success, making one mediocre, oversized musical after another. And I love musicals, but I mean, they make terrible turds, you know, in the wake of The Sound of Music. And the studios, you know, I mean, if little movies like The Graduate or, you know, stuff like Easy Rider for a whole different audience didn't come along to save a lot of those, you know, a lot of those studios, we wouldn't be here today with movies.
Well, let's just hope that a lot of our favorite theaters like your Logan, Michael, will be back, as it says on their marquee, after a brief intermission. Michael Phillips, Tribune film critic. It's okay. We'll be nostalgic, but let's stay hopeful and optimistic, all right?
I'm right with you, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.